I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good already. Maybe we don't need a message. What do you think? No, you're getting it. it's just so wonderful to see all of you here today. And as I always say, we're co-creating this experience. You know, I've done a lot of preparation and a lot of work, but I have no idea what God's going to do, as because I know that God is going to bring something different to each person. And hopefully you will be blessed. And I always like to begin with a prayer. So, God, please take me over. Take me over, God. Think your thoughts through me. Speak your words through me. Act your actions through me for your glory, for my healing and the healing of the world. Amen. I do that because I want to remember who's in charge here and who I want to be doing this. So I say that prayer every morning when I get up. I get up at 5, I go on my walk, I say it on my walk, and it just, I say it throughout the day because I keep forgetting that I'm not in charge here, that life works much better when I ask God to take me over. So I start asking you all a question. Do any of you ever find yourself finding fault with anybody or with anything in life? Is there anybody else besides me here that finds herself doing that? Okay, I'm not alone. And did I mention finding fault with yourself too? Because that's a really big one. That one may take up actually more time than finding fault with other people. Well, I think you know and I know that that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to me when I do that, but somehow I just keep habits, right? And I think our world kind of does that, don't they? I mean, we're kind of trained to see if you can find out what's wrong, not see if you can find out what's right. And when we're finding what's wrong, we're suffering. We're not having a good time. And Jesus, our way shower and teacher, he taught us this, by the way. And I'm going to read to you from the Sermon on the Plain. Now, you all think about the Sermon on the Mount, right? That's found in the Gospel of Matthew. He was on a high place. Well, he also was speaking on a low place called Sermon on the Plain. And these words are found in the Gospel of Luke. So I want to read those to you. I'm reading to you from Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. These are the words of Jesus, our teacher. He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Now, how many of you, like me, when I read that scripture, I think I'm being, my finger's being pointed at me, and I'm being blamed or chastised. Does anybody else ever read it like that? Well, today, maybe when I read it, you even felt that way today. But I want you to look at it differently, because remember how tender and kind and loving Jesus was? Everything he taught us was meant to be kind and gentle and loving. And he taught us this because he knew when we did this, we were going to suffer. He was wanting to help us not suffer by saying, don't judge, don't condemn, don't withhold your forgiveness. Now, is there anybody else in this sanctuary beside me that holds on to things, not just for 5 minutes or 5 hours, but maybe 50 years? Anybody else? Yes, yes. And do you see when I do that, when you do that, I have myself locked in a prison. I am locked in a jail cell that I've got the key for, but I think you're at fault. But guess what? You're going on having a happy life, aren't you? You don't care that I'm still upset with you, right? You're just living your life, and I'm the one who's in prison. So there's wonderful reasons to really work on this. But I'm going to give you some ways to work on this, by the way, because I've been working on it a lot of years, and I'm still not done yet. So anyway, I want to use this book by Max Lucado. Any of you familiar with this book, You Are Special, by Max Lucado? Isn't it precious? This is, Jesus taught in parables. In other words, Jesus, those words were just words that I read to you. But there's a lot of instances in the Gospels where Jesus tells stories that people can relate to in their life, in their everyday life. And they're called parables, and we describe them as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's what this is. This is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning for me. This is about a village of little wooden people. And these little wooden people were called Wemmicks, W-E-M-M-I-C-K-S. And all these little wooden people carried around, they each had boxes. And the boxes had two compartments. One handled golden stars, and the other one handled gray dots. And they would go around, and as they saw each other, as they greeted each other, if they liked the way you looked, they gave you a golden star. However, if you didn't look to suit them, by the way, they gave you a gray dot. And if you performed well, they liked what you said, you agreed with their position on everything, they gave you a gold star. But if you disagreed with them about anything, what did you get? A gray dot. Well, if you were one of the lucky ones that people were pleased with you. Oh, and by the way, this is another interesting thing. If they saw a lot of stars on you, they just gave you another star. And if they saw a lot of dots on you, they just gave you another dot. Okay. Well, Punchinello is our little hero of the story. And, well, I'm not showing you his picture yet. This is why you come and sit in the front row. Because if you're in the back, you cannot see this book. But this book will be up here after church. So if you want to come up and just take a glance at the pictures, you can do that. But maybe next time, come and sit in the front. Punchinello was this poor little guy, and he just kept getting dots. I mean, he didn't, you know, he just wasn't the most attractive little wooden boy, right? So he got dots, and then he kept making mistakes. You know, he kept falling over. His wood was chipped. And do you ever feel like Punchinello sometimes? I mean, just couldn't seem to do anything right. And everybody just kept putting more dots on him all the time. Well, one day, he saw a girl, her name was Lucia, and she didn't have any stars or dots. She was free of all those stickers. So he said to her, "How come you don't have any stickers?" And she says, "Well, I go see Eli, the woodmaker, the woodcarver, every single day." So she said, "You need to go see him and he'll explain that to you." So Punchinello thought, "Well, he won't want to see me. Look at me. Nobody wants to see me." But he was so miserable that he decided he would trek up the hill to the woodcarver's shop. So he goes up there and he enters this room, and it's kind of scary to him. And there's this huge workbench. Can you see any of that in the back, by the way? Oh, good. That's scary, by the way. Look at him. See, he's this little big guy down here. And he was about to leave. And all of a sudden, he heard this voice. And the voice said, "Punchinello, is that you? Come here, let me have a look at you." So he went over to the workbench, and Eli, the woodcarver, picked him up and set him up on top of the bench. He said, "Looks like you got a lot of bad marks. Got a lot of those gray dots all over you." Punchinello said, "I don't mean to. I really try hard." And he said, "That's okay." Eli said, "I don't really care about those dots. Actually, and you shouldn't care either, because it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. All that matters is what I think of you. And I think you're pretty special." This story is our story, isn't it? Don't we take those marks that everybody gives us, those comments that they tell us about, you didn't do that right, that's not good enough, you don't look right, you need to lose some weight, or you need to gain some weight, or, you know, you need to be different than you are. Does anybody get through a day with being with other people? Not just one person, because Wayne and I don't do that. We don't put dots on each other. Anyway, but it's pretty hard to go out in the world and really interact with a big group of people and not have somebody telling you something's wrong with you, whether it's the way you look or the way you think or whatever you're doing in your life. So he said to, Punchinello said to Eli, well, how come she doesn't have any of those dots? He said, because Lucia doesn't care what anybody thinks about her. She only cares what I think about her. And he said, if you will come and see me, she comes and sees me every single day. If you will come and see me every single day, I will tell you how much you're loved. The title of the message is, I'm here to remind you how much you're truly loved. That actually came to me through a song, I'm here to remind you of your magnificence, if you're familiar with that. But that last line is, I'm here to remind you how much you're truly loved. And that's not in the book, by the way. But it's the same theory. Eli is saying, I love you, you're special, I made you. I don't make mistakes, you're perfect just the way you are. But in order for you to know that, you have to come to see me every day so I can remind you of how much you're truly loved. So you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Where do we need to go to be reminded where we're truly loved? We need to go to God. We need to turn our attention to God. We need to, if you will, go to God. We don't have to go up some hill, but we may have to go up a hill in our minds. Because if your mind is like mine, I have one of those gerbil wheel minds. You know, I get on something that's maybe not real positive, and you know, I'm imagining all the worst, and well, this is gonna happen, and then that's gonna happen, and anybody else do that? And we are caught, just like that gerbil that can't stop going around that wheel. My thoughts can't stop going around that wheel. And that's that prayer that I start out saying to you, God, take me over. Think your thoughts through me. You know, speak your words through me. Act your actions through me. And Emmett Fox, and I think most of you are probably familiar with this too, Emmett Fox wrote a pamphlet called The Golden Key. How many people know about The Golden Key? Okay. And Unity actually has published this booklet called The Golden Key for Today. So it not only has the original Golden Key pamphlet in it, but it has all kinds of Unity leaders and people writing how that applies. They give examples. This book is free. You can order it from unity.org. You can go on their website. You can download a digital version of it if you want to. So the whole book is available to you. This pamphlet, again, there are some things that have stayed with me over all the years. And Emmett Fox wrote that pamphlet in the 1930s. And Unity asked him to write a special edition for them. Years ago, I've been in Unity 66 years. Can you believe that? I hardly look old enough, do I? But happy birthday, Alan. See, I was going to Unity before you even arrived here. Anyway, and at that time, I went to, it's Unity South now, but it was called Lima Unity then. Then they changed it to Unity Church of Peace, and now they've changed it to Unity St. Louis South, which is where our beloved Vernetta is speaking today. Anyway, I have all these little, I've got a whole drawer full of all these little pamphlets and things. And they used to make little, the books were like little, like you could put them in your purse. So there were some good things about the good old days that I kind of miss, actually, because I couldn't find my pamphlet. I was going to hold that up for you, and I don't know where it is. But anyway, it's in here. But it's a very simple thing. He says, no matter what difficulty you're facing in your life, no matter what it is, if it's fear, Anybody else have any fear? Does anybody get through a day without any fear? No fear. Oh, you have fear. Oh, good. Only one other person besides me has fear sometimes? Come on. Don't be shy. I don't want to feel alone up here. Anyway, but what he says is, all you have to do is stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. That's it. That simple. Stop thinking about the difficulty and start thinking about God instead. Stop thinking about the difficulty, start thinking about God instead. So when you're struggling with something, we have to train ourselves, by the way. You know, Unity has five basic principles. I'm not going over all of them, but the last one is it's not enough to know the truth. We have to live it. We have to practice it. So we have to practice turning away from the difficulty and putting our thoughts on God. Stop thinking about the difficulty. Do any of you ever dream at night? Okay. Are they always happy dreams? Have you ever, like me, wanted to continue them to see where they went? Like, you know, if I have to get up and I got to go back and it's like, well, I got to take off where I left off with that dream. Well, is that crazy or what? I mean, really, if you're awakened for some reason, you say, thank you, God, right? And you don't go back to the misery that you were in. So I'm getting better about that, by the way, because, you know, I want to know what happens. You know, like I had one when I got up this morning. It's like, oh, I wonder where that's going. And it's like, Karen, no. Turn your thoughts to God. And that's the way to get out of jail, if you will. Because if we are fortunate to wake up, actually God woke us up and gave us freedom. And we go, no, thanks God. I want to go back into that cell. So I just think we're really strange creatures. And I'm admitting that I'm strange. Anyway, but it's so simple, isn't it? But how often do we do it? How often do we remember to do it? So that's the deal. And the title of the lesson was, I'm here to remind you how much you're truly loved, but I'm here to remind you to remember to turn to God. I'm here to remind you to remember that the solution to any difficulty you have, to any pain you may be experiencing in your body, or any suffering in a relationship, or worry about your finances, worry about your health or the health of another person. If you stay there worrying about it and obsessing and thinking about it, the gerbil wheel, if you will, you're going to keep suffering. But there's a way off. There's a way off the wheel. There's a way out of the prison. And the door is ready for you to open it. But all you have to do is change what you're thinking. That's not easy, though, is it? So it's about practicing. It's about making a point of saying, just right now while I'm here in church, I'm concerned about something else. Do any of you ever think about anything else while you're here besides what Burnett is talking about? Yeah, right. So if you're off somewhere else and you're not here, bring yourself back and say, I'm right here right now. And God is right here, right now. And I'm with all these wonderful people who are also wanting to experience God, to feel God's love. They're here. They're here to support me. They're on this journey with me. Why do I want to be on what's coming up later? Or even worse, what happened 5 minutes ago? Be here now and keep your thoughts and your mind and your attention on God. Every morning when I walk, I have all this little stuff I do. I'm out in the dark. Maybe it won't be dark now. It was still dark this morning. But when I'm out walking, I do that prayer. Then I do the 23rd Psalm. And when I get to the part in the 23rd Psalm where it says, He anoints my head with oil, I then add, God is cleansing, purifying, and healing every thought in my mind that's unlike God. And he's cleansing, purifying, and healing every cell in my body that's unlike wholeness. So you see, I've taken the 23rd Psalm and I've adapted it for how it has meaning for me. So I'm being anointed, and in that process, I'm being healed, if you will, in my mind and in my body. And then the next verse is, my cup overflows. And then I say, I am as God created me. I am healthy, I'm strong, I'm kind, I'm loving. This is really inspiring, by the way. People see me walking, I'm kind of bouncing up and down. And then, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I go, surely goodness and mercy will follow me as I keep my thoughts on God. As I keep my thoughts on God and I look for and find God in everyone and everything. Isn't that a nice thing to be doing? Is to looking for God in everyone and everything. Isn't that what we're here to do? Because inside each and every one of us, every one of us, no one excluded. You say, oh, but that doesn't apply to Putin or whoever else you want to put in there. Could be your cousin or your, who knows? You know, we have people we do that with, right? It applies to everybody. God created every living being. And God loves every living being. And we are called to look past those appearances. We are called to let that Christ, that God essence that's in us, come out and greet that God essence in the other person. Now, it's a little bit easier to do here, right? We'll do that with each other this morning, won't we? But we're called to do it everywhere, all the time. So, my friends, I am here to remind you how much you're truly loved, and that if you will keep your thoughts, keep turning them to God, keep turning them to God, keep turning them to God, you will experience a new freedom and a new happiness that you really have not known before. God bless you. And I'm going to do the Lord's Prayer first, Alan, and then Alan is going to play a song before the meditation. So would you join me as we affirm the prayer that Jesus taught us together, our Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Silence, stillness in my heart, in my heart. Quiet, peace in my heart today.
so I invite you to take some easy, gentle, deep breaths. And as you breathe in, allow yourself to fill up with the peace of God. Imagine you're like a balloon. Feel your lungs expanding, your chest rising, your heart opening. And allow yourself to feel the peace of God filling you. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And anything in you that is unlike peace and stillness and calm, allow yourself to feel God moving through you. And if you will, dissolving and dissipating everything that's unlike God's peace. Feel yourself resting on a soft pillow of peace, being held gently, lovingly, and tenderly. And then taking in another deeper breath and allow yourself to feel the love of God. The love of God just filling you and thrilling you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And if there's anything unlike your thought in your thoughts that is unloving, that you feel separated from anybody or anything, separated from God, allow yourself to know that the power of God in you is greater than that. And that right now in this moment, God's love is washing away and dissolving anything in you that is unlike love. And then another deep breath in, filling up and feeling the joy of God. Anything in your mind that's unlike joy. Know that the power of God is now transforming anything that's unlike joy into joy and happiness and delight. You are God's beloved, precious child. You are being loved, cherished, and adored in this moment, just as you are. No matter what's happened before, no matter what you've done or not done, feel God's unconditional love for you, God's unconditional peace and joy, filling you and thrilling you, transforming you from any kind of limitation, whether it's in your physical body, or it's in your mind, or it's in your affairs. The activity of God is doing a mighty healing work in you in every area of your life. Open up your heart and your mind. You might even want to open your hands as a symbol that you are willing to receive God's love, peace, and joy. You are willing to be embraced, to be held, to be supported, and lifted out of any darkness that you may be experiencing in your life, whether it's something in your physical body, something in your finances, in your relationships, any area of your life. Keep turning your thoughts to the awareness that God is with you every single second, and is transforming and restoring everything that's unlike God to total wholeness. And I invite you to, hopefully you felt this love, peace, and joy of God for you, to extend that out, to just let it radiate out from you to everybody around you in this sanctuary. And then keep extending that love and knowing it is now flowing into this neighborhood. It is flowing into this county, this state, this nation, and the world. You, your willingness to extend the love that God has for you, the peace and the joy of God, your willingness to extend that out to every being at the farthest corner of the earth, no one left out. And see a world transformed. See a world filled with love, peace, and joy. And know that anytime any of us pray, anytime any of us make this connection, we are healing the entire world. We are healing the entire world. This is our part. The world is waiting for you. It's waiting for me. We know the gift, we've received the gift, and we are willing to share the gift with the world. So for just a moment, allow yourself to feel this transformed world, leaving no one out, no matter what they've done or have not done. The world is aglow, filled with the light, the very presence and the power of God in the silence. And I invite you, if you do not have a smile on your lips, to allow that love, peace, and joy to show on your lips. And let's say together, I feel how much God loves me. Together, I feel how much God loves me. And then you don't have to open your eyes, but think about somebody here and say to them, you feel how much God loves you. Together. You feel how much God loves you. And then together as a spiritual community, let's affirm. We feel how much God loves us. Hope you're still smiling. Because when we open our eyes, I want to see big smiles. So thank you, God, for bringing this very group of people together. We know that we have co-created something with you that literally has transformed us and the world. And for this, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.